Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Hey guys, I think this morning we just need to give God a great shout of praise. Come on, let's throw off every... Come on, let's praise Him and just keep going. Keep praising Him. Keep shouting your praise, your adoration. Come on, let's tell Him how mighty, how amazing, how awesome He is. Come on, let's shout our praises. Let's give Him that adoration. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life, there is health, there is wholeness, there is deliverance, there is healing, there is salvation. Father, we praise Your mighty name. We thank You that You are in control. You are Lord. You are mighty. We thank You. We don't bring You down to our level. We come up to Your level. And we thank You for life today, wholeness today, freedom today, liberty today, joy today. We thank You for the unlocking of heaven on earth right now. We praise Your mighty name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Just turn to somebody and say, rejoice with me right now. Just turn to the person next to you and say, rejoice with me right now. Now come on, let's rejoice again. Let's give God a great shout of praise, but louder, more full on than we already have. Come on, church. He is worthy of all glory, all praise, all honor, all adoration. Oh, thank You, Father. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Your mighty name. Your awesome name. Just close your eyes for a moment. When Jesus prayed, He raised His hands and He said, Father. Just raise your hands this morning. Just look up to heaven. He's your Father. Yes, He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your King. He's your Master. But He is your Father. He is all about relationship. He is your Father. God wants to reveal more of who He is as our Father this morning. The nature of the Father's love into our lives. Who He is. And when you know Him as Father, sets you free. When you know Him as Father, there's security. When you know Him as Father, there's no fear. Because when you have a good Father, you know He's looking after you. He's defending you. He's providing for you. He knows everything about you. When you have a good Father, and He is the good Father. He knows every need. He knows everything about you. He even knows every hair that you have on your head. What a heart He has for you, for me. Father, we thank You and we praise Your name. We thank You You've created us in Your image. Thank You that with Adam and Eve, You walked with them in the garden because You wanted relationship. Father, I thank You just for a revelation in every one of our lives this morning. For You as our Father. I thank You for freedom and liberty in our lives this morning. As we see You in a fresh way, that we don't have to try and perform for You. Or get Your approval. Or try and reach a certain standard to become acceptable. I thank You that You've done all of that for us. That Father, You made a way for us. Through Jesus, You made a way so that You made us acceptable. You adopted us. You chose us. You picked us out by hand. You brought us into Your family, into childhood with You, into sonship with You. Thank You, Jesus, that You did all the work to enable us to know the Father in the same way that You know the Father. What an amazing thing You've done for us, Jesus. And we thank You, Father, for that revelation of You this morning. That revelation of You as Father. Relationship. Acceptance. That revelation to know You as a good God who gives good gifts to His children. But lavishes us with Himself. Father, I thank You just no matter what our experience of natural fathers or parenting, whether good or bad or not or indifferent, Thank you that it's the revelation of you that determines how we see you and know you. So I thank you for revealing who you are this morning to every one of us in a fresh way. That we'd be drawn to you, to want to know you in a deeper way. Not, I've just got to have my quiet time, but to know you in relationship, saying, Father, I want to know you. Father, I thank you for hearing your voice. Father, I thank you for relationship. I thank you for intimacy. I thank you, Father, for peace and well-being. I thank you for my health and healing because you're a good Father and you don't want me to be sick or in need in any way. I thank you as I seek to know you, then everything else is added to me. You meet every need. You provide for me. You know everything. And I can be secure that I don't have to try and remind you and drop hints to you in case you haven't remembered or you don't know. Thank you. You already know everything about me. And you simply say, walk with me. And as we walk with you, Father, hand in hand, we walk in relationship with you. We thank you that there is that provision of life and health and wholeness, of peace, practically everything that we might need. We thank you as we walk with you. We walk into everything that you have already provided for us. And I thank you as a good Father, you always provide an inheritance. That you don't lack anything, but you've already provided everything we will ever, ever need as we walk with you. Thank you. We don't live like the world does, looking for this, looking for that, looking for the other. We know that you have got it all sorted already. And as we trust you and walk with you, then we live in a place of total well-being. We live in a place of where we don't think lack and need and I need this and that, but knowing that you provided for today. And as I rejoice in today, you'll look after tomorrow. And as I step into tomorrow, you're already there waiting for me to join you in tomorrow because you're outside of time and you're already there. So I thank you that you hem me in before and behind me, above, below, around, that I never have to feel on my own or isolated because you're already there. You've already made the way. You're already looking out for me because you're my protection. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, what a liberating it is to know God as Father. As Father, as Father. Thank you, Jesus. You've made the way for us to know him as Father. Amen. Amen. Grab a seat. Oh, don't you love... We love Jesus, but we also love the Father, yeah? Just grab your Bibles. I don't know if that's on. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Just want to look at a few things this morning. I believe God wants to minister to everybody this morning. And we want to give a little bit of space. So I just want to try to chat for a few minutes, look at a few scriptures, and then just give some space for God to minister to us as a Father. So get ready to receive from him this morning. You might be ready to receive. You might be feeling like, well, I'm not really sure if God wants to bless me, give to me. He's going to help you in the next 25 minutes or so you're ready to receive from him. Is that okay? Some of you need to receive healing. Some of you need to receive peace. Some of you need to receive answers for things. And I find the best thing is not to ask God lots of questions, but let him speak to me and tell me what he wants me to understand and know, rather than will he answer all the questions I've got. Because sometimes God doesn't answer the questions I've got in the way that I think he's going to answer them. Because a father looks over his children, a father watches his children and sees how they are. He knows what they need, how they're doing. And sometimes the question a child asks might not necessarily be the right one to give or an answer to in the right way. And so as a parent, you kind of steer them and help them in life. And God sees the beginning from the end and he knows what's going to help us walk with him rather than just maybe sometimes him answering loads of our questions that we have. So let's have a look at God, our Father, or my God, my Father. You can, however you want to put it this morning. It's interesting, you know, a lot of the time sometimes we talk about God being Lord. Lord means he's number one, he's in charge. He rules and reigns. He's supreme, his lordship. And sometimes we talk about God as being king. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the king of the universe, king of everything. And we honor him because he's king. Sometimes we understand God as master. He's our master. We serve him. And sometimes we see him as our savior because there's forgiveness, there's new life, there's hope. There's loads of different words in the Bible that describe who God is. But I believe the most important attribute, if you like, of who God is, that he wants us to live in, is this revelation that he is our Father. Amen. Personally, my parents are brilliant, and I've had a really great example in terms of parenting from my parents. And so you could say, well, it's okay for you, Clive, because you've had good parents and they're godly people and they've raised you in good ways and everything. But God doesn't want me to model him as my father based on my natural father. He wants me to know him as father through the revelation, the understanding of how the Bible describes who he is. And also how he shows me, that how, as I grow in relationship with him, how he shows me who he is. Now, you could say, well, surely having a good father has helped you do that, probably. But otherwise, what I'm doing is I'm basing my relationship with God through another person. And God doesn't want me to base my relationship with him through another person. And so you might have had a bad experience or a non-experience of a father. And you say, well, I can't know him as father because of my natural experience, and therefore I can't know him as my father. That's we can't have that kind of attitude, because that basically says to God, I can't know you in the way you want me to because my experience tells me something else, so I can only know you through my experience. And God doesn't want you to know him through your experience. He wants you to know him through his word and by revealing who he is as a father to you. Yeah, very good. We've been looking at God's love, the nature of his love, over the last few weeks and during this autumn time. And God's forming us into a people of love. And that's probably had some challenges for you in your life. I know it has in mine, and it has in the staff, and things that people are working through. And we talked a while ago about cutting some bands and closing circles and dealing with stuff. That's probably still going on, and it probably needs to, because if there are still things going on in our lives, then there's still some bands to cut, conversations to have, relationships to be restored. And all those kind of things. And it's really important that we continue to respond to God during this autumn time, because we're coming to the end of our year of alignment, where God said, get everything into a line in 2013, ready for next year as to how we're going to go forward. But right at the heart of that is relationship with God, and that being expressed to one another. And so God wants to reveal himself as Father into our lives, so that our relationship is based on him being our Father, not first and foremost Lord or King or Master, but first of all Father. And out of that revelation of him being your Father, everything else is going to flow. Because out of relationship, his lordship will flow. Out of relationship, his kingship will flow. Out of relationship, him being Master, if you like, will flow. Out of relationship with him, everything flows from our lives. So in Genesis 3, I've already said, when we kind of prayed just before we got into the word here, verse 8, it talks about God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it was something that he longed to do with Adam and Eve. He longed to walk with them in their lives. And this is God's part of God's heart for us as people. He longs to walk with us and for us to walk with him. So I believe God wants to, just maybe if we've got certain mindsets or thinking that are not right, or we live under a pressure or false expectations of how we think we need to be before God, I believe God wants to just help us with some of those and deal with some of those this morning. Ephesians 1, going to read from verse 3 right through to verse 14 or 15. But I'm going to read from the Message Bible, and it just puts some things in a different way. Maybe you're used to reading maybe the NIV or the New Living Translation or whatever translation you read. Sometimes it's good to read things in a different translation just to go, oh, right, yeah, rather than just the same words you might have read many times if you read the Bible. Maybe you're here this morning and you think, well, I've never read the Bible, never heard it read before, and maybe this is going to be a bit different than you think the Bible is. So let's have a look at Ephesians 1, verses 3 through to 15. There's no verse numbers in this, so
if I dip out and come back to it, I'm only guessing what verse I'm in, all right? So you'll have to just bear with me for a minute. How blessed is God? He must be blessed because he's God. And what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ. He's the Father. So we're looking at the fatherhood of God. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ. And takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Many of you in the room are probably parents, and you want to express as much as you can love and affection, encouragement, goodness, if you like, to your children. You don't want to be on top of them all the time and giving them a hard time and picking up everything. You know, you want to give them an environment where they can grow, where they can flourish as people. And this is God's heart for us as a father. He takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Wow. We can't perceive that, the billions of people on the planet. But before he laid the foundations of the earth, he had you and I in mind. He was thinking about us. That's pretty awesome. So he was thinking about you before you were even around, before you'd even done anything. He had settled on us as the focus of his love. Whoa. So his focus of love is on you this morning. To be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. Your natural family, you had no choice in the family that you're part of. So your brothers and sisters or your parents or your children, they're your parents or they're your children or these are your brothers and sisters, your siblings, your relations. You had no choice whatsoever in those things. But yet adoption is so powerful because when somebody's adopted, somebody goes and chooses them. They pick them out by name. They say, hey, we want you to come from where you are. We want you to come into the family. We want you to become part of the family as if you were part of the bloodline. And so we're going to adopt you and take you out of the circumstances you're in and bring you into the bloodline, if we can put it that way. That's the heart of adoption, to bring you into the bloodline of our family so you become one of us. So you become, and you then receive the fullness of everything that this family now is. And this is God's heart for every one of us, that he's adopted us, chosen us, called us by name, taken us out of wherever we were and said, I'm bringing you into my family, into the bloodline of who I am. And now you're going to receive the full inheritance, everything that I am. That's why he says the high blessings, because when you become a child of God, then you receive everything, the fullness of who God is in your life. So he's adopted, chosen us, called us by name. You're no accident. When you go shopping, you go and you pick the things that you want. You don't run into a shop, grab anything, shove it in a bag and go out into the street and then have a look and see what you've bought. Oh, did I buy that? All right. When you go into the shop, you look around. What is it that I want? The colour, the size, the shape, the design. You try it on. Does it fit? Does it look any good? And then you're happy to part with your cash. You're happy to pay the price for what you're purchasing. And when God had us in mind before the foundations of the earth, he also knew that he was also going to have to pay a price for us. Because he knows the beginning from the end. So sin didn't catch him by surprise. But God knows that a true relationship has got to be based on free will. So he gave us free will to choose, and man obviously chose a little while ago to disconnect with God, be independent, do his own thing. But God already had a rescue plan, because his heart and intention is for us to walk with him and to know him. Let's have a look. Long, long ago, it says, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. Wow. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved son. I don't know what you think about the way this is put it, but lavish gift-giving. This is his grace lavished upon us. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, Jesus, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We are free people. Free of penalties and punishments that have been chalked up by all our misdeeds. But we're not just barely free either. We're abundantly free. See, God's a God of abundance. He can only do things abundantly. You know, whatever your nature and character is, you do things in relation to that, your nature and character. God's love is abundant love. That sounds pretty energized to me. And so if God's a God of abundance, then everything he does abundantly. He does fully. He does, you know, lavishly. Yeah, he does. Yeah. And so he lavishes himself upon us, lavishes his love upon us. So we're abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Just turn to the person next to you and say, wow, God is amazing, God is good. Say something to him. It's in Christ that once you heard the truth and believed and found yourself home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet, this seal of approval from God is the first installment on what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Wow. God wants us to live based on who he is, not based on how we think we're doing. God wants us to live based on who he is and what he's done for us, not based on how we think we're doing. Because sometimes we're kind of, God, I'm not sure if I'm quite there. I'm not sure if I'm quite this, that, or the other. Not good enough, not prayed up enough, not this enough. And you know, when a child's in a secure environment with their father, they run to the father expecting to get whatever they ask from the father. Why? Because they know there's openness, there's oneness, there's relationship, there's a place of security and that kind of stuff. We only back off when we know we've done something wrong. Well, maybe we back off when we know that in this situation, the father or the parent knows we've done something wrong. Maybe when you know the parents don't know, you think, well, they don't know, so you don't back off. It's like, well, if they don't know, they don't know any better. But once you know they know, then you tend to be like, I better keep away from them because I'll get into trouble. But God doesn't want us to be like that with him. Yes, God disciplines those he loves, like a good parent does. But what's discipline all about? It helps to shape our lives. It helps to shape our wills, our hearts, our minds, our attitudes. So that, why do you discipline your kids? So that you raise them to become responsible people. So they make good choices that are going to actually benefit them and ultimately benefit other people. So you don't discipline, you know, sometimes we see discipline as it can be quite a negative thing. But actually, what does discipline do? It shapes and forms character in somebody. And sometimes we rile against that because it challenges, you're saying I'm not right or I'm wrong or I've got to think. No, God's right, isn't he? And we don't always know God's right. So sometimes it's not really an argument because we know God's right. But when other people get in your life and say, hey, can I just chat to you about something or whatever? Sometimes we can get a bit, hang on a minute, you're no better than I am and all of that. And we can get a little bit kind of resistant to things. And so you're always hitting up against the will, you know. But a father will always discipline, or a parent will always discipline their kids because they know ultimately it might not be easy in the moment, but they know it's going to bear good fruit. And your kids will turn around one day, sooner or later, and say, thanks, you were amazing. The great thing is, God doesn't shy away from disciplining us. He knows, I need to have a little chat with that one to help them, you know. think, act and behave in the right way. And God doesn't mind if people turn around and go, oh, God's on my case at the moment. He's like, yeah, I am. But it's for your good, because I love you and I want you to live in relationship with me without that sense in your own heart of, I just feel a bit out of sorts with God. I don't quite there. Because God doesn't want us to live with niggles in our lives. So anyway, let's have a look. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. In the Sermon on the Mount, 17 times Jesus refers to God as Father. And, or certainly in the NIV anyway, in that translation, 17 times he refers to God as Father. Now in that context, during that sermon he was preaching, it was a big, big, big mind shift for the people that were listening. Because they'd never heard of God being spoken about as Father. Certainly not in the way Jesus was speaking about. They related to God as having to fulfill, having to live out, you know, the laws, or having to live out commands, having to live out certain things. And because of the way the religious leaders portrayed God to the people, it was more about outward expression than actually what was going on in the heart. And Jesus came into the middle of that religious culture and he began to talk about God in the context of a father, in the context of relationship. And the disciples even came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. Now, they'd obviously seen people pray before. It wasn't that prayer was suddenly came from nowhere, but they'd never seen anybody talk to God like it was personal, like it was relationship. And Jesus, across this sermon, 17 times he talks about God as Father. So he was redefining something for these guys. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 5 onwards. You know, when sometimes we use the word pray, we sometimes feel like, right, I'm going to pray now, so we step into prayer mode. Anybody ever do that? Or if somebody says, come on, let's just pray, suddenly everybody goes, the atmosphere that was there of chatting and laughter and sort of that kind of thing, somebody says, come on, let's just pray about that, shall we? And then everybody goes, yeah. And suddenly everybody, there's a holy moment. You know, or suddenly the atmosphere changes and we're all a bit like, oh, right, what am I going to say now? I'm going to talk. And then we start praying what we think everybody else in the room wants to hear us pray. Because now we're having a prayer time, you know. And it's like God saying, no, I'm already here. I'm already around the table. I'm already sitting on the sofa with you. I'm already in the room. So just involving me in a conversation and talking to me and maybe listening to what I want to say in the midst of what you're talking about, it suddenly doesn't have to become one of those, oh.
That's it. Come on.
And you have a little look around. Is anybody going to pray yet? And then because you don't, as the parent, you say to one of your kids, well, go on, you pray first, go on. And suddenly, you know, and what happens at that moment for your children? Well, when you talk to God and when we pray together, it all goes like that. Rather than, come on, let's just pray about that. Father, we thank you that you're here right now. We thank you want to speak to us about this situation. So we give it to you as a family right now, or as whatever context you're in. We just give this to you now. Father, we thank you that you give us everything we need. You've already made provision for it in the Word. So we thank you, Jesus, for healing or for provision or to sort this situation out at school. We just take authority over all the trouble and the difficulties. Father, we thank you in this situation at school, the release of from this bullying and all that kind of stuff or whatever's going on. And rather than it all going, just bring God into it like he's part of the conversation, part of the, why? Because he's your father. I don't know what it's like in your house or when I was growing up around our dinner table, we were chatting away. And if my dad started to say something, we didn't all go, or whatever. He was part of the conversation. Now, there were times when he said some specific things, you know, because there was some wisdom coming and we're all listening to it. But it wasn't like, you know, for us, we only had those kind of moments when we had a family meeting. And they didn't happen that often. But every now and then, after dinner, there's obviously been something going on. And it was a bit like, okay, guys, before everybody goes off, we just need to have a few minutes together. It was like, all right, okay. And But that was the only moment where it was a bit like, all right, Dev wants to say something, so all right. And he might, you know, it might just be, look, guys, you know, whatever he talked about. And but that was the only moment that it went, you know, but when we prayed as a family or as a household, because we always had people living with us, it wasn't a moment. Do you know what I mean? It's like God's here, he's real, he's part of our lives. And we want to talk to him like he's real. And he's not just suddenly we're going to prayer mode with God. Because he's a father, it's a relationship. You know, sometimes with your father or with your parent or whatever, there's a conversation that's quite serious. Because you're talking about life and what's going on and decisions and things, you know. As you're growing up and as you're going forward, you have those conversations where you need some wisdom. You just need to bounce something off. And it's a little bit more, you know, and you have to share what you're struggling with, or you're growing up when you're going through a situation and you want somebody to talk to, you know. But there are other times where you're just having a great time. You're having a laugh. You're doing something together. And I love the fact that God wants to be involved in our lives. That as a father, sometimes we our relationship with God, we look at God and say, we're always joining with what God's doing. And I think sometimes he says, I'm your father. I want to join in with what you're doing. You know, what does a father want to do? A father actually wants to spend more time doing what his kids want to do than what he wants to do and say, will you do what I want to do? You know, so good parenting or a good father in one sense would not say, I'm doing this, do you want to come with me? It's more, what do my kids like doing? How can I get involved and do that with them? So they have a great time doing what they're doing, but you're joining in with them. See, I think, you know, we don't necessarily perceive God like that or think about him like that, because a lot of our understanding of God is, well, we need to obey and do as we're told. Well, in any relationship of love, you want to please the other person. And the Bible does talk about, if we love God, then we obey his commands. But also, I believe God enjoys us. So he went looking for Adam and Eve in the garden. He wanted to be with them and walk with them and join in with them. What he created for them to enjoy and to rule and reign and look after and everything. And he said, I want to be with them there where they are, enjoying everything that they're enjoying, because he's a father. And God enjoys you. He enjoys you. He created you. He formed you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. So you're not an accident. You're not a mistake. He doesn't look at you and say, you're not quite the, you're not really, I wanted somebody, no, I made a mistake there. You know, God doesn't do that. He knit you. He formed you. He designed you. He knew what you were going to look like. So it doesn't matter what you look like. God loves you, enjoys you, wants to spend time with you, wants to walk with you, wants to enjoy the things that you enjoy. There's stuff that you enjoy. He loves it too. I mean, I know he supports Arsenal and joins me on the sofa every time Arsenal are playing, you know. I'm just checking your heart response there. Okay, it was an interesting one. That's the best feedback I've had so far this message. Wow. So whatever's flowing now, I don't know what it is, but anyway. So let's have a look. So when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you spend time with praying, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father. Talk to your Father. It's interesting how Jesus describes prayer to these guys as Father. He doesn't say Lord. He doesn't say King. He doesn't say Master. He says Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. So God's not interested in us just praying prayers.
That's right.
Praying prayers doesn't do it. They're, in one sense, let's kind of just talk about prayer in two ways very, very quickly. One is your relationship with God, just developing, cultivating, talking, listening, talking to God about stuff, your life. You know, God wants you to talk about your life with him. If you're struggling with something, tell him. God, I'm just today, the last few days, I've really been struggling with this one. It doesn't say moan about it, but you can talk to him about it. God, this situation's been troubling me, I just don't know how to deal with it. I just feel like I'm a bit out of sorts. I've got a bit of an attitude, but God, you know, would you just come and settle something in my heart? Father, whatever you need to happen. Do you know what I mean? And he's not going to sit there going, no, I'm going to do anything, sort it out yourself. You know, he, as a father, he says, yeah, now you've invited me into it, I can help you with it, rather than struggling with it on your own. I think sometimes good fathers, parents, watch their kids sometimes struggle a little bit with something, and you don't straight away go in and sort it, because actually they need to learn. You know, and sometimes you're waiting for that moment where they just need, Dad, can I have a quick word with you? I've just got this, you know, what do you think? Now, with my kids, they've been growing up, I said, well, what do you think, mate? What are your thoughts? What would you do? To try and, because they've normally got the answer, but they just need the encouragement, the confidence, say, yeah, that's right, great, mate. Well, and you work that one out, brilliant. Rather than, what do you think? And I just tell him. Otherwise, they sort of learn, if I've got a problem, I just ask and they'll tell me what to do. No, I want to help you make choices and decisions, so... in that way. So anyway, but what did Jesus say? He said, don't be like them, for you know your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is then how you should pray. And we know this very well, most of us, the Lord's Prayer. But he then says, our Father in heaven. So he begins to say, when you pray, it's Father. Father. Not Lord, not King. Not when you pray, Father. It's relationship. It's relationship. As you mature as a person, you pray from a place of fathering rather than, you know, Lord, do this, or Lord, would you speak to me? Lord, it is Father. And out of that, his lordship will flow. But he does say, he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy or honoured is your name. Because God's name is holy. And so when we're coming to the Father, we understand we're coming to the Holy One. But because he's Father, he's approachable. Because he's Father, he's available. So he's the Holy One. But holy in our natural thinking is, well, man, I'm not, and he is, and I can't, you know. But this is why Jesus said he's Father. But he is Holy Father. But because he's a Father, I can spend time with him. He wants to speak to me. He wants to encourage me. He wants to walk with me. But he's a holy God, so he wants me to walk in a holy relationship with him. But it's not he's not unapproachable, he's fully wide open. That's what the cross represents. So we can run to him confidently. And it says, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he's kind of saying, look, that's surrender. You're surrendering to the Father, but it's, remember, it's all in the context of relationship. Give us today our daily bread. He's your provider. Forgive us our debts and forgive all those that are our, as we forgive all our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. He's your defender. But deliver us from evil. So there's a lot in there about forgiveness, but two quick things before we pray. God's your defender and he's your provider as a father. So a father will always defend. What does defender mean? It means I'll never ever leave you and never ever forsake you. See, if you defend somebody, you're going to defend them no matter what's coming against them. And that's what the Father does. He defends. He's like a ring of thorns protecting us around our lives. We're going to look at number 6 and pray through that in a moment. But he's like a hedge of thorns around us, protecting us. Why? Because he's your defender. You know, like any parent, your kid gets into trouble at school. You understand they might have done something wrong. But when you go in, you listen to what the parents say, but you defend your kids like anything. That's right. Never cross a cross mum. You're in trouble, you know. And, you know, mums are like, that's my child you're talking about there. And so you defend in front of the teacher, and then when you get them home, right, I need to have a little chat with you. But in front of other people, you defend them like anything because they're your kids. You're not going to speak badly about them. You're not going to say, oh, yeah, he's a right little, you know, rotter. Or anything like that. He's a right little Charlie, you know, and I'm going to deck him when I get home. You know, you don't do that. You're like, yeah, we need to have a conversation and he might get into trouble, but in front of everybody else, he's your kid, you know. And God's like that with us. He's our defender. God will never speak anything bad about you to anybody else. He'll never leave you. He protects you physically in terms of protection, but he'll also protect you verbally. How do we know that? Because he's never negative about you. Let's move on quickly. He's also your provider. Matthew 6, in that whole context, he's talking about he clothes the birds of the air and the flowers in the fields. And he knows even if a bird falls to the ground and dies, he knows. And he said, so how much more does God know about you? And it says there, as you seek his kingdom and righteousness first. What does that mean? As you walk with God, he provides everything you need. He looks after the details. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Because he said, if he can clothe the flowers of the fields and they look amazing, incredible and beautiful, how much more can he make sure you're sorted? Sometimes we relate being blessed with having loads. Because the world says, the more you've got, the better it looks and the better a person you are or something. And sometimes we're like, well, you know, we've made the word blessing in... We've kind of brought that down to our level and said, if you're blessed, then you should have loads. And actually, you know, Paul the Apostle said, I've learned to be content in plenty or in need. You know, so blessing is not determined by how much you've got. You see, if you've got what you need for today, you're blessed. And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will look after itself. So when you come into tomorrow, thank you, Jesus, that I have everything I need today. Because riches in God's eyes are not based on how many cars you've got, money in the bank, or what your house is like. Riches are based on who he is, his nature and his character, the riches of his life in us. And if you're content and have a total well-being in that, then you don't base your own and measure how blessed you are by what you have or don't have. You know, well, I'm blessed because I've got him in my life. He's looking after me because he's a good father. And I know I've got everything I need for life and godliness because he looks after me. So whatever happens tomorrow, he's going to be there. He's looking after me and I can walk with him in total peace and well-being. If it is tough and it is challenging, it's like, Father, I thank you that you're here right now and you enable me to walk through this to walk me through the other side. Thank you. You never leave me, forsake me and let me walk through this on my own. But you're with me in the middle of it. He's a God who gives good gifts. Matthew 7. Ask, seek and knock in that whole thing there. If a son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead? Even though you are evil in this world and you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Don't you love Jesus? Let's stand together. We've got a few minutes. If we could have Toby and Fraser up, if you guys can come up. I just wanted to close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to read out from Numbers 6 a few verses. But I believe God wants to minister to all of us in the next few minutes as a father. And maybe one or two things that we're going to say, you've not really necessarily seen God or perceived God in this way. But let's just close your eyes for a moment. Just going to read out these verses, but just see yourself right before the Father. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, you might have had good parents or a good father. You might not have had a good experience of that. But no matter what your experience of your own family, let's just submit all of that to the Lord. Maybe you need to pray something like, Father, I don't want to know you through the eyes of my parents or from the experience I've had, good or bad. I don't want to know you through my experience. I want to know you directly as my Father. I ask you to reveal who you are as my Father in a fresh way. Just thank him that you've been adopted, that he chose you, he called you. Before the foundations of the earth, he thought about you. You were on his mind. David says that that kind of thinking was too lofty for him. It was like, God, it's just, I can't, just even how amazing you are in the Psalms. Too lofty for me to attain, just how amazing you are. But then when we take those three verses, we're just going to look at what the Hebrew kind of says from those three verses and what it actually means in the Hebrew here. So if you want to just close your eyes, believe God's going to minister to you right now. What these verses mean, Yahweh kneels before you presenting gifts. And maybe you've not thought of God in that way before, that he kneels before you presenting gifts. On the last night before Jesus was betrayed, when the disciples were sitting down, he took the bowl of water and he took a towel and he started to kneel in front of them, began to wash their feet. And that blew all their fuses because, firstly, they knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was the Son of God by that time. So firstly, the fact that he was the Son of God was amazing. But for the Son of God to kneel and to start washing their feet, it was just blowing all their fuses. It was like, this is not right. This shouldn't be done like that. Then also, he was a Jew, and Jews never washed one another's feet. It was always a servant's job to wash the feet. So that was blowing their fuses. You're the Son of God, but you're also a fellow Jew, and this is just not right. But yet, Jesus was expressing the very nature of these verses. Yahweh kneels before you, presenting gifts. We're used to kneeling before God and bowing before him and worshiping him. Kneeling or lying down sometimes before God, saying, God, I want to bow, I want to kneel before you, I want to surrender afresh to you. And God loves that because it's part of worship, but also, as a father, he responds and he says, I'm going to come and kneel before you and I'm going to present gifts to you. I'm going to present my goodness and give my goodness. Where you need healing, where you need peace, where you need resolution, where you need things in your life, I'm kneeling before you, presenting myself, presenting gifts to you. And as you stand or sit before him right now, just see him kneeling before you, presenting gifts. Father, I thank you for healing right now in people's bodies, in their lives. Father, I thank you for others. You minister to them right now, your fatherhood, the nature of who you are as their father, that you kneel before them. Just receive from him this morning. It's quite a thought, isn't it, that he would kneel before you, presenting himself, presenting gifts. But in that context, it then says he will guard you with a hedge of thorns to protect you. So he surrounds you with himself. He surrounds you and says, you're mine. You're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter. I surround you with a hedge of thorns that nothing can penetrate that because I'm looking out for you. I'm guarding you, protecting you. Then the word says, Yahweh will illuminate his very being to you, bringing order and beauty. So he illuminates himself over you right now, reveals, shows you who he is. He illuminates himself, shows you who he is. He doesn't want to make this difficult. He doesn't hide himself, but he shows you who he is. With that invitation, come, come. You might be weary, burdened, heavy laden. He says, come and I'll give you rest. Draw near to me and I draw near to you. He's ready. He's already there waiting. And as you draw near to him, he's straight away will draw near to you. He doesn't reject you. As you draw near to him, don't run from him, but draw near to him. If you feel out of sorts with God, don't keep away from him this morning, because you'll stay in a place of unrest. The best way to get that total well-being is move towards him. And as you move towards him, what you'll find is mercy, grace, and love. As you move towards him, you'll find he's ready to respond to you and whatever you say to him, because he wants you to live in total well-being. Yahweh lifts the whole of his being over you. And he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. He sets in place everything you need to be whole and complete. You'll never ever make yourself a better person. You can't. It's impossible. Because your person now, your identity now is him. And he is already perfect. Saying, Father, I don't want to try and be a better person, but I thank you that as you show me who you are, then I live out more fully who you are in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the nature of your love as Father. You never, ever leave us, never, ever forsake us. Father, I thank you that you deal with any attitudes we might have right now where we see you as a teacher, or we see you as a policeman, or we see you as somebody who's just waiting to tell us where we've gone wrong or what's not right in our lives. Father, I thank you for that liberation, that freedom. I don't know what you might need to pray now, but if there's anything like that where you've seen God in a certain way, where you know it's been restrictive, and God said, I want to take all those restrictions off and show you who I am as your Father. Father, I thank you for freedom and liberty. Thank you that you transform us right now by the renewing of our minds. Thank you for that liberation now that sets us free, that breaks every lie of the enemy, everything that he says, you're not accepted, you're not good enough, you'll never make it. Look, you still keep making that mistake over and over again, so you're not acceptable. Just cut that right now and say, no, I don't live under that. I don't live under that anymore, so those lies can shut up right now. Father, where I might keep repeating something, I thank you for your grace right now to come and work in my heart and life. So those things are sorted and broken right now. And I thank you for the boldness and confidence to know you as Father and to approach you with boldness and confidence, to live my life with boldness and confidence, because I'm living it with you and for you and in front of you. Do you see it all anyway? But I thank you for the freedom that there is in knowing you. I thank you, Father. Praise your awesome name. You might not know Jesus today at this point, and you're like, wow, I never knew God could be a Father. Maybe you want to submit your life today and say, God, I want to know you as Father. I want to know you, not just think about you as somebody out there or whatever, but actually, wow, if I can know you, then I want to know you. Just take a few moments, just talk to him. Tell him what is going on in your heart. If it really is that simple, God, I want to know you. And I want you to know me. If that's what's going on in your heart this morning, then we want to be great to chat with you afterwards. You might have come with a friend or a family member. They can talk with you. And just find out, how do I begin a relationship with God? What do I need to do? How do I respond to this amazing love that I've heard about this morning of how God is as a Father? Maybe you need some healing emotionally, mentally, physically. Maybe the stuff that's happened in your life and you're like, well, how do you deal with that? Because God's a good Father, he knows how to deal with the stuff that we've been through in our lives, and he deals with it like it never happened. Can bring healing to your heart, to your mind, to your emotions, to your soul. You get a completely new start with him. It's incredible. And myself and a number of others will be up just to the front on the right here. Some of the guys will have a badge on saying Connect Team. They're just here to just chat with you and pray with you, talk with you, answer any questions you may have. We'd love to help you discover who Jesus is, who God is as your Father today. Let's just lift our hands, shall we, this morning. Father, we praise your name. Like Jesus is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we honor you, worship you as our Father. We thank you that we go as your children this week. We thank you we go with your favor, with your hand upon our lives. And like every good father, you're looking out for us, looking over us, protecting us. But we thank you that we can live in freedom, in the knowledge that you're totally for us. We praise your mighty, wonderful, glorious, holy name. Come on, let's give God a great shout of praise, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.